Blog Talk Radio.
Well, it's Wednesday night, the first Wednesday of the new year, 2022. God has brought us a mighty long way. And now he has crossed us over from 2021 into 2022. And we have to be so careful to realize that it's all by his grace, all things through Christ Jesus. And for that, we should appraise him. We should give him all honor and glory, because you really have to realize he didn't have to do it, but he did it. And we should be thankful. God is truly blessing us in the midst of everything that's going on in our lives, in our city and state, in our country, and all around the world. But God saw fit to allow us to come together tonight at the 8:30 hour for words of wisdom, plain and simple. And I'm your host, Diane Adams, a servant of God. It is a beautiful thing that he let us fellowship. God wanted his children to fellowship one with another. And this is one of the provisions that he has provided for us, and we are taking advantage of it. To God be the glory. This is a new day that God has made, and each and every one of us should be able to find something to rejoice about. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. It's a brand new year, y'all. It's a brand new day, full with brand new mercies, brand new blessings, brand new seasons, brand new heights to reach. Brand new direction for obedience. Brand new opportunity to praise the only true and living God. As always, I'm thankful to God for allowing me to be able to come before his people. And I thank each and every one of you who took time out of your schedule to meet up on Wednesday night, week after week. Started in the year 2012, and God is still carrying us through. And for that, I'm grateful, and I'm thankful, because one of the worst sins in the world is the sin of ingratitude. And as always, it's a good thing. And all I can say is thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Well, tonight our lesson is going to come from the book of 2 Corinthians. We're going to be in the 10th chapter, and we're going to expound on the 2nd through the 5th verse. And the title of our lesson is, Your Imagination Can Play Tricks on You. Your Imagination Can Play Tricks on You. It's real, y'all. And I hope when we study these verses on tonight, we will have a tool to help us to go forward. And as the scriptures say, be able to cast down certain imaginations. As always, I play a song, and then we go to God's throne of grace and prayer. And our dear sister Pam, our prayer warrior, who prays every first Monday of the month, calling out the names of those that's on the prayer list, giving praise reports of those who are now able to be released from the list because they're doing better because of God's grace. And then we're going to expound on the word of God. I want to take time and thank those listeners that come through the internet. Hallelujah. and listen to the program. We have a geographical map, and it gives us the five places that listen the most to this program that all of us are a part of. I often say this is not my Bible study, it's our Bible study. God ordained it. God formulated it. God has given a provision. God is allowing us strength to come back week by week because it's ours. Well, the geographical map, the most callers, of course, would be in the United States of America. The next most callers we have listening in by internet or however they may be doing it is Canada. The next one is South America, South Africa. One is Nigeria. And the next largest in that group is Kenya. I just want to give a shout out to those that are listening and joining in with us, the body of Christ. I pray that we could all be on one accord and continue to do as 2 Peter 3:18 says, that we would study to show ourselves approved. Workmen need not be ashamed to rightly divide the word of truth. To everybody around the world that has been listening to this program, I just want to say thank you. And my prayers always for you is that God bless and keep you. And I'm going to play a song. And the song I'm going to play, I think it's appropriate for tonight because it's talking about God and the great work that he's going to do in us, do in us and through. And I'm going to play the song, and then we're going to come back and pray.
Sometimes there are obstacles in the road that can leave you feeling low. And you don't know how to move forward. And sometimes there are turns you wanna take, but the way gets hard to trace. Now you're wondering, how did you get here? But don't you give up until you see how God is ordering your steps so you can walk into your seat. He that has begun a great work in you is faithful to perform. God is faithful to perform. He that has begun a great work in you is faithful to perform it. Our God is faithful. The Lord and receive a harvest for your seed. And in due time, God will blow your mind with what he planted inside of you to bless the world that
blows. He that has begun
a great
work in you.
He's faithful to perform. God is faithful to perform. Oh, he that has begun a great work in you is faithful to perform it. God is faithful to perform it. So if you ever get discouraged, speak to yourself and say, God is doing a great work. He's doing a great work. He's doing a great work in me. God is doing a great work. He's doing a great work. He's doing a great work in me. So what should be considered as we proceed?
is that this work did not begin with you. Our mother's mother and father's father planted seeds when we were but the faint notion of a dream in their mind. They hope for a harvest, a legacy, a great work. So may your next step forward help us to connect the dots and see this picture of greatness. In fact, I hear God say that you are his workmanship, his masterpiece, created for such a time as this, for great works, for great, great, great works. So God be great. Don't get discouraged.
To be encouraging at the first of this year. See, the songs just say that God is doing a work in you. We have to realize God didn't bring us this far to leave us. And God is working in us. We all under construction. And he wanted us to know to be confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you is able to perform it until Jesus comes. You don't have to wonder about your salvation. You don't have to wonder about the love of God for you. You don't have to wonder about his blessings. You don't have to wonder if he's going to show up for you. God has given us evidence, enough evidence to last us until Jesus comes back, that he is the real deal, the only true and living God, and he loves us. He provided a way for us. And he said nothing can separate us from him. So I'm just encouraging you, my sisters and brothers, keep the good fight of faith going on. This is a new year and many made resolutions, but just do what is right because it's just the right thing to do. And be careful not to let your imagination play tricks on you. And at this time, we're going to have our sister Barbara, our intercessor, lead us to the throne of grace and prayer for us, for others, and those all around the world. Take on the image of Christ, our intercessor, Sister Barbara. I'm sorry, Sister Pam. Pam.
Good evening, everybody, and Happy New Year. Okay, our prayer list reads for January the 5th, 2022. Diane McBride and family, Anika Drew, Azariah Hurd, Vanessa Humphrey, Beverly Ferguson, Florida Kasia, the Bridges family, Shatika Clark, Ayana, the William and Washington family, Dirks, well, she's home from the hospital, so I can take Dirks May Caesar off. Our Wednesday night Bible study, the family of little Dylan Burton, that was a young baby, 7-year-old that was killed in a car with her mother. Barbara Bradley, Gennaro Achilles, all those that are suffering with the coronavirus, all those that are homeless, and all those that are behind prison walls. I will bless the Lord at all times for his praise shall continuously to be in my mouth. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you tonight for life. Thanking you, O God, for allowing us to fellowship on this first Wednesday night in a brand new year, 2022. Father God, we come on this first Wednesday night to lift up our brothers and sisters who come asking for prayer. O Lord, we know that all power is in your hands, in heaven and in earth. Lord, I know that's nothing too hard for my God to handle. Father, we know that whatever their needs may be, and if it's in your will and not our will, that their needs be supplied. Whatever your needs may be and whatever you may be going through, remember, God is still in control. The battle is not ours. It's his. And we got to know and remember that. This is not our battle. This battle is for the Lord. God is Jesus lived, y'all. He's alive. And we serve a true and a living God. And that's why we must always keep our hands in God's unchanging hands. My God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he said he will never leave us nor forsake us. And we got to hold on to that. We got to believe that, y'all. So hold on to your faith. Trust the process. God got this. Whatever we're going through in our life, God got us. He got us. And we got to be so careful to give him all praise, all glory, and all honor. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I thank you tonight, Lord Jesus. I thank you for allowing your only begotten son to die on the cross for us, that we may have a second chance of life. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for life tonight. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for our teacher and our leader, Minister Diane Adams. I thank you, Father God, for this Bible study that gives me strength on a daily basis. Just thank you, Father God, for your grace and for your mercy. I thank you, Father God, for everything and all things that you're doing for me right now. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen, amen, amen. And thank you, my sister. Thank you for your wonderful prayers. Thank you for being an intercessor for so many years. And it appears you haven't gotten tired yet. It appears that you know that the race is not given to the swift or to the strong, but those who endure until the end.
Hallelujah.
And I thank God for you and your faithfulness. And it is my prayer that you, your family, and everyone be blessed. And if it's God's will and your desire, you will continue to call in and pray. And I just want you guys to know, when you get a name on the prayer list, Sister Pam doesn't just pray the first Monday of each month for these people. She prays for them all the time. And if you would like to add names to the prayer list, you can do so by either calling me, or I'll ask at the end of the program if there's any names and we are added on the list. Because those who you put on the list is being prayed for constantly. And not only by Sister Barbara. There are others that when they hear the name, they write it down and they pray for them. And if you would like to pray for others, we ask that you do. Because that's what we are supposed to do, which is our reasonable service. Again, thank you, Sister Pam. And it's now time to explore the Word of God together. The title of our lesson tonight, I'm going to say it again because more callers has called in. The title is, Your Imagination Can Play Tricks on You. And we are coming from the book of 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, the 2nd through the 5th verse. And when I sent the notice out, I asked if you could read the whole chapter so you could get a clear understanding these few verses that I picked up. What was it in reference to? But we're going to go ahead and we're going to do a little introduction. Right now, I'm going to talk about the book of Corinthians and the author that wrote it. You see, the book of Corinthians was written by the Apostle Paul. It's a book that can be found in the New Testament. You see, it was a book, and the people he was writing to were the Jews.
because the Jews believed that they were getting justice because of blaspheme against God from those and towards those who accepted Christ as the chosen one and their Savior. You see, the Jews who haven't accepted Christ even today still is looking for the Messiah to come. They have never accepted that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was the Messiah that God has already sent. So when people back then would be talking about Jesus as the chosen one, Paul was a prosecutor, and they would take those Jews that was changing their faith from Judaism and giving accolades to Jesus Christ. They thought it was blaspheme against God. You see, they loved God with their whole heart, but they wasn't accepting Jesus as his son. So they had a problem with it, and Paul did too. And Paul would prosecute the Christians. But oh, one day Jesus met him on the road to Damascus, and Jesus didn't talk to him while he was living and walking the earth. Paul was crucifying the Christians, and Jesus was trying to get the people to believe. So they was on opposite end of the spectrum. But old Jesus, after his resurrection, met Paul on the road to Damascus. And he told Paul, why are you prosecuting me? Why are you persecuting and prosecuting me? Paul said he didn't know what he meant, but he said, what you do to the least of mine, you also do to me. Jesus began to teach Paul. Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, revealed the truth unto Paul. Paul believed and was never the same. Paul then turned from crucifying the Christians to try to get everybody to believe on Jesus Christ as their Savior. Since Paul met Jesus, his life was never the same. Hallelujah, y'all. And it's so amazing that even though Paul started out crucifying the Christians, once he met Jesus Christ, he was never the same, and he was so pro-Jesus. And the people who still had the same mentality of getting rid of those that they felt blaspheme against God. So Paul became one on the opposite end, and now he was having opposition for his belief now in the true and living God. Paul was martyred, killed for his conviction. He was willing to die for what he believed about Christ. And he did die for his beliefs in Jesus Christ. Paul was Jesus Christ unto death, because he said in one of his books that to live is Christ. He said, but to die is gain. Paul had much opposition. Paul had a lot of things thrown against him. The same thing that's happening in this chapter tonight. And it's amazing how much opposition Paul got and people at that time got. And even it's happening in different parts of the country now. But we can worship God, study God, fellowship with believers as much as we want, and yet we don't take advantage of it. But Paul did, and it cost him his life. But he said to die in Christ is the gain. And that's our little background on Paul tonight. So we go ahead into the scriptures, and in 2 Corinthians, I'm going to start at in the 10th chapter for those who have your Bible, and we're going to be in the third verse. I need to tell you a little bit about this chapter, you see, because Paul was trying to teach the Jews. Now, you could imagine Jesus had just died. Paul had just been converted, and now Paul is singing another tune, and the people just don't believe him. They're not accepting him, so he really had battles. And in this particular chapter, they was telling Paul that he wasn't right. They was looking at Paul as a fleshly man and not an anointed man by God. And they was telling him in
and rousing up against him. They was calling him a false teacher and everything else. But Paul stayed steadfast and unmovable to the things of God. Paul knew who he was. Paul knew who his assignment was given to him by. He personally met Jesus after his resurrection. There was no more guessing in the game, and Paul had all of the evidence he needed to spread the gospel. And I pray tonight that we all have enough evidence that we would want to spread the gospel as well. So when we get to this third verse, Paul was making his case and letting them know. So he said in verse 3, he said, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh." You see, this scripture is saying that even though we live in a fleshly body, we do not fight according to the world, which is described in the Bible as the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and pride of life, which is human standards. You know, there's somewhere in the Bible that says we don't fight against flesh and blood, but against principality, against wickedness and people in high places. You see, they're saying we sometimes fight the wrong enemy. You know, if somebody is doing something that's not right, sometimes we fight that person. But it's really a spirit in that person. And we are so busy beating up on the person instead of going to God and praying and recognizing that it's a spirit and maybe share it with a person that that spirit is on them or with them and they may decide to change. But if you constantly beating them, they're not going to even pay attention to what you're saying. You see, the scripture is letting us know that there is a war going on, and the war is between the flesh and our spirit. You see, the war is going on daily in our lives. As long as we live in the body of flesh, I like to say we are now living in a flesh suit. Hallelujah. Our soul is inside of that. This is the covering in his flesh. And I want you to know that sin dwells in the flesh. That's why when we die, the flesh is the first thing to leave, especially if we saved. Because once we die and we accepted Christ as our Savior, the presence of sin cannot no longer dwell with us. And even for those who won't be dead when Jesus comes back, when Jesus comes to collect his church, he's going to be in the cloud and we're going to meet him in the air, those that are still here. And as you're going to meet him in the air, you're going to be transformed from this fleshly body to a glorified body, from a corrupt body to an incorruptible body. Because you see, the flesh have to leave. And it carries away the presence of sin. Hallelujah, y'all. As long as we live in the flesh, where the sin dwells, we crave fleshly things. But the spirit that is inside of us will yearn for the things of God, which is spiritual. You see, the war is actively taking place every second of our lives. And I want you to know, and many people wouldn't want me to say this, but I have found out for myself, time the flesh wins, and many times the spirit wins. But what we're trying to do in our walk is be more of the spirit and less of the flesh. There are some people who believe that they could be total spirit, and they're only fooling themselves. Because the Bible says we all fall short of the glory of God. And then, you know, they may believe they're only in the spirit. The Bible teaches us that sin is sin. And if that person is holy, I pray. Study, I pray. Read the word, I pray. Give to the sick. Give to the poor. Hallelujah.
but sit down on the telephone and gossip about somebody. That's a sin. Or sit at a table and become full with eating and eat a little more, and you know how you say your stomach hurt. That's called gluttony. That's a sin. And I could go on. I could say a little white lie. You told a lie because you wanted to save the peace. A lie is a lie. I don't care what package you put it in. So the Bible is letting us know that as long as we live in these flesh suits, that flesh is going to crave fleshly things. And the war is going on every second, every hour of the day. And I'll reiterate that sometimes the flesh wins and sometimes the spirit wins. Because some people are beating up on themselves, even though the word of God said there's no condemnation to those who love the Lord and those who, hallelujah, are in the spirit. No condemnation. But we sometimes condemn ourselves. But I want to throw this in tonight, that I want you to know that God is not looking for your perfection. He's only interested in your direction. Are you pressing towards the mark of the prize for a high calling? Do you really within your heart want to be better today than you was yesterday? Praying for God to remove the junk out of your trunk. That's what God's honor. That's what God honors. That's what God is looking for. God know we can't be perfect. He know we would not be sinless. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, is only the sinless person that ever walked the earth. And if there were others that could have done it, then why would Jesus have to die if it was possible for us to achieve it? Come on, y'all, let's look at it. And there are some people that are more obedient than others. Praise God. There are things they used to do, they don't do no more. Praise God. There are some people that do a lot of things, but they're not sinless. And if they really believe that, God said, you're only fooling yourself. You're only fooling yourself. And I want you to know that the war that's going on is fought in the boardrooms of your mind. Come on, y'all. Because the fight is against Satan and his demons, and God, and his children, those who have accepted Christ. You see, Satan is trying to get you to believe what he wants you to believe all the time. And he can only do it in your mind. You see, Satan could do much more. You see, when you were out there doing anything and everything you thought you was big and bad enough to do, when you was leaning to your own understanding 24/7, when you did what you wanted to do, good, bad, or ugly, if Satan had the power, he would have took you out then. Don't get it confused. Don't get it twisted. Yes, Satan has power, but they're limited. And he can only operate in your mind. He messes with your thought and tries to get you and your actions to tarnish your character. Remember, he can't do no more than playing tricks in your mind. And if he could, he certainly would. You see, if Satan could kill us or remove our salvation, he would have did it a long time ago. Matter of fact, he wouldn't have even allowed us to accept Jesus Christ. Look at his power. The Holy Spirit had enough power to draw us in. Hallelujah. Jesus have enough power to sustain us. And God have enough power to bring us home.
Hallelujah. But Satan couldn't stop us and he couldn't block us. You see, Satan only plants the thought and hope you receive it as your perception. And before you realize it, it become your reality. You know, there's some things you're doing in your life, you've been doing them so long, you don't know where the thought came from. But if it's not right, it didn't come from God. You see, Satan has a way of making everything that is good look bad and everything that is bad look good. Look around the world we live in. Today, anything goes and people are accepting it more and more and more each day. They are really compromising their faith. They're trying to mix a little faith with a little flesh and want God to accept it. We not afford the privilege to make it up as we go. God has given us the roadmap. He has given us our moral compass. He has given us our daily bread. He has given us his daily word. You're not afforded the privilege to say what God wants. Y'all, we never could really understand the mind of God. He says, high as the sky is from the dew on the ground. So how you and your little mind or us, I ain't going to say you, I'm going to say me and us, figure out what we could take from the word of God or what we could put in or who we could forgive or who we don't have to forgive or who we could love and don't have to love. Or when we don't want to give, we don't have to give. And we make up in our mind with our silly imagination that it's all right. But watch this. We want God to accept it. You see, we are the chosen people of God, and we should be transforming the world to the things of God. But the world is conforming us to its standards every day. Satan is taking this war serious, and he's doing everything in his limited power to find the battles that he thinks he could win. You see, Satan is, he don't take times out. He has no personal days. He don't pack up and go on vacation. And he don't give his workers any breaks. You see, we have the victory in Christ Jesus if we keep our mind stayed on him. And the Bible tells us in John 10:10, because it said the thief came but to steal, to kill, and destroy. And Jesus said, I am come that you may have life and that you might have it more abundantly. You see, flesh in and of itself is not the problem, y'all. A thought in and of itself is not the problem. It's what you allow the flesh to make you participate in, and it's what you do with that thought when it enters your mind, when it enters your mind. Hallelujah. You see, there are many pledges we receive with our flesh. I'm not going to name them. Y'all know. But they must line up with the word of God to be profitable. You know, you ask good things. You know, you drink water to satisfy the flesh. A good thing. And it's profitable. You know? But then you could, you know. But there's some things the flesh needs to operate. But there's things that the flesh need that if you participate in it, it's not profitable. And then you see Matthew 6:24 say, no one can serve two masters. Either that he hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. So I'm telling you, and I'm telling myself, see, this is not just for you, but it's for me too. Choose this day which side you going to be on. Stop straddling the fence. Begin to do what's right because it's the right thing to do. We have to stop compromising our faith by trying to mix the flesh with the spirit. And I can guarantee you if you choose God today, you win. Verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God by the pulling down of strongholds. You see, our weapons cannot be carnal, which are earthly, man standards, or worldly, which means flesh. You see, the weapons of the world, see, Donald Trump had a lot of power and still does. But you see, he used the weapons of the world. Watch this. The weapons of the world is lies, lust, deception, greed, pride, thinking more of yourself than you should, using the blame game. All these are worldly weapons. So if anybody do these things and use these things, they're using the weapons of the world. Gluttony, slothfulness, and anger. And that's true. That's the weapons of this world. You may feel that you won the battle, but you really would have lost the war. Satan only gives temporary or short-term satisfaction. Once sin is conceived, Satan packs up and leave you stuck out, all alone to face the music and experience the pain. You know how Satan make you think you're going on with some sin? You know, it could be cheating. And then when you get busted, Satan go on to the next person. And you have to face the music alone. You know, that's just one example of, you know, anything that we doing that is a trick of Satan, and we keep doing it. You know, it's just like somebody on drugs. They say they go on drugs, and it might be years, and the family doing everything they could to try to help them to stop. And then it is said that they hit rock bottom. And you see, when they hit rock bottom, Satan pack up and go to the next. So he don't stick around when he done brought you to the lowest denomination that you could reach. You see, once sin is conceived, he keep trying to get you to go deeper and deeper, and then he walks away. You see, once you accept, believe, and confess Jesus as your Savior, God has equipped us with mighty weapons, and they are always available. God says in Ephesians 6 and 11, put on the whole armor of God so that you can take your stand against the wiles of the devil's schemes. God said, I will never leave you or forsake you. I'm always near. As Christians, you should realize that the war that is going on, now look how good God is to us, even though we bring ourselves in them silly situations. But God has told us in his world that the war that is going on, hallelujah, y'all, he said belongs to him. Just stay on the battlefield for the Lord, that he will see you through. And the last verse for the night, verse 5, it says, casting down imagination and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of God. Look what it says. Cast down imagination and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivities. Bring into your mind those things that are lovely, that are just, that are pure. Bring in your mind the righteousness of God by being obedient to Jesus Christ is how you do it. When this scripture talks about a stronghold, I want you to know that one of the strongest strongholds is your imagination. You see, imagination is the act or power of forming mental images of what is not actually present. It's not present. You're thinking about it in your mind or may never be experienced. You see, you have imagination. Some people have imagination about being rich, and they put it in their head over and over and over. because they can't see it at the time. But they're hoping that it comes to fruition. But some of them will never be experienced. But you play it in your mind. You see, we must ask God to give us the spirit of discernment, to keep our thoughts focused on his truth, his wisdom, and his knowledge. You see, the word of God provides us evidence that should help us control our thoughts and mind, along with our imagination. Imagination is needed, y'all. Electricity would never have been invented without imagination. And let me back it up a little bit. I got to let you know the ability to imagine came from God. Now, Savior, Satan only used what God has given and try to distort it. God put that in us to be able to imagine. Those people who believe that God has a certain task for them to do, they imagine it in their mind. And the Spirit give them discernment. And then they try to develop it. Imagination in and of itself is not bad. It's a good thing. So you have to remember that. It's not your imagination. It's what you do with it. It's the things you allow to get in there and take it as real and act on. You see, when we think about imagination, we could go all the way back to the Garden of Eden. Hallelujah. You see, Adam and Eve, Satan told Eve a lie, deception of the world. She allowed her imagination to get the best of her. God told her about the fruit to not eat. Satan told her it was okay. Her imagination began to play tricks on her. And she said, it do look good enough to eat. You see, that's what your imagination doing when Satan is in there pulling your strings. You see, your imagination is the act of power of creating mental images of what has never actually you haven't experienced. Come on, y'all. You know, that's somebody who, you know, they say you get the image of what you have never experienced. Somebody could tell you something. Let's say somebody could tell you something about a drug and say it's the best feeling I ever had in my life. And you see, when I was going through my problems and I just couldn't take it and not do that, it helped me to forget. And even just liquor. Come on, y'all. And some people, it's sex. That's the things of the world now. Come on now. And then, you know, they might have told you that and you begin to imagine. And sometimes when people, that's why you got to watch who you talk to. Sometimes people will tell you something that you weren't thinking about. And then you find you're pulled in. See, it could be what I just said. It's an act of power of creating a mental image of what has never been actually experienced. So your imagination either make you walk away or make you go to it. You see, your imagination in your mind is either talking you into doing something or talking you out of it. You see, she could have cast it down, but she didn't. She accepts. And not only that, she gave something to Adam. And y'all know the rest is history. You see, a good imagination, you see, the Hebrew boys was about to enter the fiery furnace, but they used their imagination based on the evidence of God's power. They asked him, you don't know if your God's going to show up. But they knew he could do anything. They didn't know he would do it. But watch this. They knew he could do it. And it was enough for them. You see, they used their spiritual weapon of faith mixed with their imagination and stepped in the fiery furnace. You see, when God told Sarah and Abraham that they would conceive a child, they thought that God was taking too long and allowed their imagination to play tricks on them. They took matters in their own hand, and Satan was telling them that it was all right and that God may be lying, that he might not show up, and that he was taking too long. And what difference will it make? Remember, Ishmael was born of the flesh, and Isaac was born of the promise. You see, if your thoughts and imagination do not line up with the word of God, run from it. Cast it down immediately. Because if you allow it to have free space in your head, it will be harder to evict. I know that y'all could testify to that. I know I can. You see, your thoughts now believe that they have squatter's rights. Hallelujah. You wake up one morning and say, how did I get here? I'm doing things that I never thought I would. So you might ask the question tonight, Sister Diane, then why did God give man an imagination? You see, there are only two ways for a human to see something through the eyes. You got to physically see it with your eyes, or you got to imagine it in your head. You see, all human progress has been born out of their imagination to see things differently than they are. Imagination is used for righteousness' sakes. It's a good thing. But when you allow your imagination to play tricks on you, it could destroy you. Without an imagination, how could we see God in our minds or read the word of God about the rapture and see Jesus in the air? Or how could we see the pearly gates of the street paved with gold? How could we see the Red Sea divided into two and the children of Israel walking through? How could we imagine our suffering Christ and then see his resurrected body? Here we see that our imagination is needed, but we must learn to line our imagination up with the word of God so that we will just do what is right because it's the right thing to do. And tonight I ask you, allow the Holy Spirit to guide your imagination in the things of God and his righteousness. Then and then only will the devil be the only one that's tricked. Glory, hallelujah. That's the lesson tonight. That's the lesson tonight. And if anybody would like to add to it, make a comment, talk about it. You know, we have a forum where we could do that, y'all. You might need to ask a question. You might need to add something in it. You might have an experience that you want to share. You know, you might want to talk about this thing called imagination. You can press the one button on your phone. Anyone have anything they would like to say? Well, if that's it for tonight. You know, and I have to use my imagination every Wednesday night that you guys really like the lessons. You know, there's a thing called feedback. And I'm not like some people on the TV want feedback because it's going to make them make more money. There's no money involved in this. You know, I don't get an award. I don't, you know, do anything. And I guess my imagination allowed me to believe because you keep coming back. So since we're talking about imagination, I have to allow my imagination to believe that you guys enjoy the program. And sometime I would like to know if there were certain things you would like for me to talk about or anything like that. So, you know, I just offer the opportunity for you to speak. I mean, you don't have to. And I don't, you know, form any opinions because you don't. Because my imagination tell me it's really okay. And for me to keep doing what I do to, I guess nobody shows up. And you guys come back week after week. So I have to assume in my imagination that everything is all right. And I thank God for it, and I thank you guys for it. But it's just an opportunity if anyone had anything to say. So if that's it for tonight, we have 3 minutes left, and I'll do the benediction. Well, I'll use these 3 minutes to see if anybody would like to put anybody on the prayer list. I know everybody got somebody they know need prayer. They might have somebody you say it with your mouth because it's just common to say, oh, I'm a pray for them. Well, now is the time you could get their names on the prayer list. And Sister Pam start including them. So if anybody would like to add anybody to the prayer list because we had a minute or two left, you could do so at this time. Just press the one button on your phone. Caller, your number is 225-302-30. You have a name for the prayer list? The button was pressed. I don't know the name. That's why I was calling out the phone number, 225-302-30, and it's two
yeah,
numbers.
Sorry.
I just didn't want to.
Yeah, this is
That's
Data.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I was speaking to mute. Hi. Thank you so much, Mama. This was, a reaffirmation for me. I was late because I was in another session, and you literally repeated the things that were in the previous session that I was in. So it's confirmation and affirmation from God, as only he would do it. I was also asking for prayers for my friend Bridget because she lost her mother, who we call mother, on December 20th, and she had to come here to Florida for us to lay her to rest, and which we did on the 30th last week. So I just ask for prayers for her and her family. She's an only child, and I'm helping her with clearing out her mother's home, and it's a process. So just I'm asking for strength and for God's guidance in assisting her, but asking for prayers for her as she continues to go through her process of losing her mother and going through the grief process. It's still very raw and still very, very new. So I'm asking for prayers for her.
Thank you so much. Give us a name and give your name for the strength.
Her name is Bridget Fleming Jones, and I am Jada Porter.
Praise of God. Jada is one of my adopted daughters, because y'all heard her say mother, and y'all was going to call me and say, well, how she call you mother? You know, I'm not the mother of the church. But Jada is my daughter.
She is my mom. I'm her first tree.
Jada is my daughter. And I'm so glad you called, Jada. Thank you for being on the line. And I pray that God bless you. And we're going to be praying, touching and agreeing with you, your friend, and yourself.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Thank you, my baby.
Yes, love you.
Love you, too. Always have and always will.
Oh, I know. I'm counting on it.
Hallelujah. Anyone else? Nobody don't have nobody need prayer. Well, that's a mighty good thing in the time that we live in the circumstances that we live in. I have a friend on the line named KJ, if he's still on the line. And many times, I think he had said that he wanted to talk, but he couldn't get everything to work the way he wanted it to. So, KJ, if you're on the line, if you press the one button on your phone, I could open your mic. Hey, Mr. KJ, is this you, 371? KJ, your mic is open. If you press the mute button, you got to take the mute button off. Because if you're talking, we can't hear you. Oh, he hung up, you guys. But that was a friend named KJ. Say he can't get the phone to operate when he's trying to say something. So I was just going to give him the opportunity. Is there anyone else, anything else? Well, if not, we'll do a benediction. And I'm going to use, y'all know, 2 Timothy 3:18. Grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, now and forevermore. Amen and thank God. Happy New Year's, everybody. I pray for health, wealth, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, faith, gentleness, goodness in your life, not only you and your family, your neighbors and your friends, your enemies and even your foes in the new year. And everybody be blessed. Amen and thank God. Good night.